Let's read together Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. In these two chapters, we have the invasion of Israel by Gog, and then the defeat of Gog by the Lord himself. Let's read about the invasion by Gog in the first 16 verses of chapter 38. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks into your jaws, and lead you out with all your army, horses, and horsemen, a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya are with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer with all its troops, the house of Togarma from the far north and all its troops. Many people are with you. Verse 8, after many days you will be visited. In the latter years you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. Verse 10, thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited and against the people gathered from the nations. Verse 14, therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel dwell safely, will you not know it? Then you will come from your place out of the far north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days that I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. Let's begin our study of these chapters, Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39, with some background notes. The three big questions about the interpretation of these chapters are the following. Number one, who is Gog and the land of Magog? Number two, when is this battle of Gog and Magog? And number three, are the weapons of war here literal or merely symbolic for modern weapons of war? Let's consider our first question now under our background notes. Who is Gog and the land of Magog? A lot of speculation has been made here in the commentaries, some writers even being very dogmatic that Gog is the end-time leader of Russia because he is said to be Prince of Rosh, and his land of Magog includes Meshach and Tubal, which these commentators say would be Moscow and Tobolsk. But we can't be dogmatic here. There are too many other possibilities. However, we can be sure from verse 6, and verse 15 of chapter 38 and verse 2 of chapter 39, that Gog and the land of Magog is north of Israel, in fact, from the remote parts of the north. In addition, we can be sure of some of Gog's allies for this end-time invasion of Israel: Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya, as we see in verse 5 of chapter 38. Now, we'll discuss the answer to question number two, when is this battle, under doctrinal point number one. But what about question number three? Are the weapons of war mentioned here in these chapters literal or merely symbolic for modern weapons of war? What about these horses and shields and swords and spears and bows and arrows? In apocalyptic literature, which by definition is the recording of prophetic visions of the future, such as the book of Revelation, we do know that symbols are used. But apocalyptic literature is not all symbolic. Even in apocalyptic literature, there is much that is literal. If the weapons of war here are literal, it would indicate that modern weapons of war, such as tanks and planes and missiles, have either been destroyed, or the world has run out of fossil fuels, or some other scenario that makes modern weapons ineffective. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal and teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, Gog will invade the land of Israel. Gog will invade the land of Israel. We see in these verses that we've just read that there is no doubt that Gog and his coalition of forces will invade Israel sometime in the future. The question is when? Is it before the tribulation period of the last days? Is it at the beginning of that seven-year tribulation period? Is it at the middle of the tribulation period, which is the beginning of the Great Tribulation? Is it at the end of the tribulation period, and the same as the so-called Battle of Armageddon? Or is it the same as the invasion of the King of the North, prophesied in Daniel chapter 11? Is it at the beginning of the millennium? Or is it the rebellion that takes place at the end of the millennium? Verses 8, 11, and 14, here in Ezekiel chapter 38, are key verses in determining the when of this invasion. It says that it takes place when Israel is dwelling in safety. Well, that certainly can't be now, or during the last part of the tribulation period when we know there is no peace for anyone on this earth. But it could be at the beginning of the tribulation period, when Israel is not only back in the land, but the seven-year peace covenant of Daniel chapter 9 will have been signed, and Israel will be living in a temporary peace with their neighbors before the covenant is broken in the middle of the tribulation period. However, we'll see some items in Ezekiel chapter 39 that do not seem to support this idea that the Battle of Gog and Magog is at the beginning of the tribulation period. Well, what about the end of the millennium? Not only is Israel dwelling securely in peace at that time, but Revelation chapter 20 refers to that final rebellion of the nations at that time as Gog and Magog. Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 9. The problem with this view, however, is that events following the defeat of Gog in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39 do not line up with events following the final rebellion in Revelation chapter 20. At the end of that rebellion, there is the great white throne judgment, and then the new heavens and the new earth. So it looks like the term Gog and Magog in Revelation chapter 20 is only used in a symbolic way and does not refer to the same time as the events in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. Perhaps the invasion of Gog here in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39 is at the beginning of the millennium, when the Lord has established peace for Israel. But the judgment of the nations, known as the judgment of the sheep and the goats in Matthew chapter 25, has not yet taken place. And leading up to that, as we see in verse 4 of Ezekiel chapter 38, the Lord brings Gog and his allies back to Israel for judgment. They had been involved in the battles against Israel at the end of the tribulation period, but now Gog and his allies return to what they think will be an easy victory with much spoils of war, as we see here in verses 11 and 12 of Ezekiel 38. Now, Daniel chapter 12 speaks of an extra 75 days during the time of transition between the tribulation period and the millennium. So maybe the battle of Gog and Magog fits there. In any case, in the last days, Gog will invade the land of Israel. Doctrinal point number two, Gog will be defeated by the God of Israel. Gog will be defeated by the God of Israel. Chapter 38, beginning now at verse 18. And it will come to pass at the same time when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword will be against his brother, and I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on the many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Chapter 39. And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal, and I will turn you around and lead you on, bringing you up from the far north, and bring you against the mountains of Israel. Then I will knock the bow out of your left hand and cause the arrows to fall out of your right hand. You shall fall upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the peoples who are with you. Verse 9. Then those who dwell in the cities of Israel will go out and set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and arrows, the javelins and spears, and they shall make fires with them for 7 years. They will not take wood from the field, nor cut down any from the forest, because they will make fires with the weapons. Verse 11. And it will come to pass in that day that I will give Gog a burial place there in Israel, the valley of those who pass by east of the sea. And it will obstruct travelers, because there they will bury Gog and all his multitude. Therefore they will call it the valley of Hamon-Gog. For 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. Verse 21. I will set my glory among the nations. All the nations shall see my judgment, which I have executed, and my hand, which I have laid on them. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. And verse 29. And I will not hide my face from them anymore, for I have poured out my spirit on the house of Israel, says the Lord God. Once again, we see in these verses that there are some details that must harmonize with whatever position we take as to when this battle of Gog and Magog and their defeat take place. There are geological disturbances, including a great earthquake involved in Gog's defeat. And the Lord also uses torrential rains and hail and fire and brimstone in Gog's defeat. In chapter 39, verses 8 and 9, we read that Israel is able to burn the wooden weapons of war of defeated Gog for 7 years. And in chapter 39, verse 12, we read that Israel will take 7 months to bury all the dead of Gog's defeated armies. They will be buried in a valley east of the Dead Sea, which will be part of Israel in that day. As a result of the defeat of Gog and his forces, God will be glorified among the nations. Ezekiel chapter 39, verse 21. And the nations will know that God has brought his people back to their land and to himself. Verses 28 and 29 of Ezekiel 39. So we may not be able to pinpoint the exact time of the invasion of Israel by Gog, but we do know that Gog will be defeated by the God of Israel. What about practical application? Get ready for the rapture. Get ready for the rapture. We don't know how close we are today to the end times. However, if coming out of this present Middle East conflict, you hear any talk about a 7-year peace treaty between all sides, then get ready for the rapture. We should be ready for the rapture anytime, anyway. We do know, based on Daniel chapter 9, that the signing of a 7-year peace covenant will signify the beginning of the 7-year end-time tribulation period. And we believe the rapture of the church precedes the tribulation period. So stay tuned. Get ready for the rapture.